You this morning, and we're so glad that you have joined us. We're going to share some music with you before we go into the Word. I guess you could tell them who you are. This is my sister, in case you don't know. My sister-in-law, but I don't call the law about her.
Good morning.
Loud enough for them to hear.
It has to be restarted. Success.
Do you have it now?
It has to restart.
Okay.
Thank you.
What a message. How beautiful is the body of Christ. That body that paid the price that we could have eternal life. Ramona and Joshua, Carice, are you going to join them?
Testing.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Praise God.
Bear with me now because Ramona made me sing this song. So I don't know if I know. I'm following you.
I'll praise
you. One more. We got room for one more. Amen.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
I don't know how this works. It came loose. I think I might have stepped on it, huh? Thank you. To God be the glory. All of the things that we've done in our lives, we cannot take credit for them, and we cannot say that it's because of my efforts that I have accomplished something. It is to God. The kids, we dismiss you to children's church, and I pray that the Lord will anoint our teacher, as Ramona teaches the children today. What a great ministry it is to put the Word of God into our young people. As I've said so many times, it's more important, I believe, for the youth to receive the gospel and the Word of God even than for adults. I don't know if you'd say it's more important. It's something that they have that shield of faith put within them. We are so thankful for those that share and work in that ministry. I would like today to talk about the holy love of God. This is the season when you walk through the stores, or you walk through the stores and you see the floral arrangements and you say, wow, I know what this season is. And there are people that they're available here for you to pick up and buy something to give to someone that expresses your love. I enjoy the beauty of flowers and the message they bring, but I wonder if they're always the true message that they should carry. Let us pray before I begin the message today. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are the one that gives us Your Word. I pray that You will help me give the word to the people here today, that we will receive it, that You will plant it in our hearts. Say the words through me that You want to speak, I pray. Let me just be a channel. In Jesus' name, I thank You. Amen. So there are many expressions of love that people give today, and sometimes they don't even understand what love is. They don't have a concept. What is love? I think about during the 54 years of marriage that I had, I appreciated the flowers that I received probably on every special occasion. And there are some of you that can also say that you have memories of loved ones that have been very thoughtful, and we are thankful for that. But what is the definition of genuine love? We often say God is love, and so He is. He is the essence of love. But we frequently hear in our culture today, and even in our churches today, if God is love, then there should be tolerance for my lifestyle, for my choices, if God is really love. Or if God is love, then certainly He would want me to do what makes, He would make me happy. Let me do what makes me happy. But we, statements like these are attempts at defining the love of God from a secular perspective. It is not really the love that God shows to us. We try to create a God in our own image. Our wants and our desires begin to shape who we want to believe God to be. It's what the Israelites did when, you remember, they made a golden calf when they were waiting and Moses went up on the mountain to receive the commandments. And they began worshiping this golden calf. They said, we have to have something we see. And they made something, an image of what they believed a God should be, something they could see. We do the same thing when we imagine God to be what we want Him to be, rather than the way He is described in Scripture. How is He described? Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 7, we read the account of Isaiah's vision of God. God is on a throne, and His robe fills the house. His train, all the house was filled with His glory. Above Him are angels who cover their eyes in the presence of their Creator. The angels sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The entire house was filled with smoke, and Isaiah's response was, woe is me. I am lost, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. You say, but he was a prophet. Yes, but in the presence of a holy God, he recognized his undone condition. He said, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Coming into God's presence was not a boost for Isaiah's delicate self-esteem. Many times we think, oh, I want to feel really special. God will do something that makes me feel important. Isaiah saw God for who He truly is, and he was filled with shame regarding his sinful condition. Isaiah was experiencing the holiness of God. I have told you there was a time that I had a vision, and I thought I was so excited because I saw God, and He was coming closer to me. But as He approached, I could not stand in the presence of Him, of God. And I said, no, no, no closer. I cannot contain this glory. I fell on my face. I could not look. And that is the way that it is. When we are in the presence of a holy God, we say, well, I recognize who I am. I am a nobody without Him. But thank God, because of the blood of Jesus, He makes us worthy. The desires and lifestyles that were once thought to be sinful are now openly celebrated in our culture. What many people are attempting to do is separate the love of God from the holiness of God. They are connected. You cannot separate them. God's love is connected with His holiness. We want God's love without His holiness. We want no absolute moral norms, and so God's holiness becomes a jarring and unwanted intrusion to our lives. We say, if God loves me, He'll make it comfortable. I can live like I want to live. But that is not the case. God's love without His holiness is one of those things in life that we cannot have. We cannot embrace God's love without honoring His holiness. One of our greatest joys is to understand how God is both holy and He is loving. So when we describe the love of God, we need to keep His holiness in mind the whole time. God is holy. I love Him. He loves me. But He is a holy God. I wonder if the church has been affected by a faulty view of God's love and holiness. It wants to be on the cutting edge of culture, and it loses depth as it loses its hold on biblical truth. It prizes love, but it is a love of a cultural kind. And it prizes holiness, but it is holiness only of a political kind. It is not that kind of love that God has. When we define the love of God, we have to keep it balanced with the biblical truth that God is also holy. The standards for how we should live are outside of ourselves. It's not what I want. It's not a selfish love, but it is outside of ourselves. And these standards do not originate in our heart or mind. The standards for how we are to live come from a correct understanding of who God is and that He is holy. God is not concerned with just making our circumstances more pleasant or more comfortable. That is not His concern. You say, well, I want things to be smooth in my life. It isn't always that way, but He's working in such a way that we are being sanctified, that we are being made holy like He is holy. If we understand the holiness of God and if we are pursuing the same holiness, our lives will look much different than most people in our culture today. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 16, for it is written, and he's quoting in Leviticus where God told the people, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Peter refers back. He said, it is written, be holy, because I, the Lord, am holy. He's calling us to be like He is. God is love, but let us never forget that He is a holy God. In 1 John, the third chapter, verse 1, he said, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. We are the children of God. That is God's love. What a wonderful expression of love. In Romans, the eighth chapter, verses 37 through 39, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 36 through 39, we read the account of where a young lawyer asked Jesus. He was speaking to his disciples, and this lawyer asked him, he's a teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is, our whole being, every part of who we are, we're a trinity. He said, love the Lord with all of those parts. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then in John, the 15th chapter, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We think sometimes that means that you're going to give your life physically, you're going to die. No, it means to lay aside your own selfish desires in order to please and to be what God wants you to be. Represent just like Jesus did. He said, if I am your Lord and Master, and I have become your servant, you too should be a servant. And that's what he has called us. That's the kind of love that he wants us to exhibit. Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we did not deserve his love, you say, well, God doesn't give me everything I want. He doesn't make my life easy. He paid for it at Calvary so that your life could be complete, so that you could have eternal life. It doesn't mean you never have rocks in the road. It doesn't mean you don't have valleys to go through. But in the valley, he restores your soul. He loves you, and what a great, great love he has that he will be with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He died while we were still sinners, but we have that opportunity to be one with him. And then in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 18, he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. He says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We can say, I see that you're hungry, and just go on and ignore it. That's not love. We act on what we see. God says, don't just love with words. And then he goes on in the 4th chapter, 1 John, and he said, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. There is no possible way that you can genuinely have the love of God without knowing God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. He gives us life. We think sometimes the life we want is life, but it really is something that leads to death. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We have heard it, the expression, it may be the only Bible, it may be the only Jesus that others see is you. The expression of your love and your life is what they need to see. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. We have that attitude and that Spirit that Jesus has. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. In 1 Corinthians, we read about what are the expressions or what are the demonstrations of love. Very telling if you go through it and read it, because it talks about, Paul wrote, he said, love is patient. Love is kind. We see people who say, oh, I love her. I love her so much that if I can't have her, and I'll just kill her. It isn't love. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. How many times we see people who cut other people down so that they feel better about themselves, but that's not a demonstration of love. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And in the original, I think it says it is not angered at all. Be angry and sin not. There are some things at which we should be angry, but it is not a demonstration of love there. It is angry at sin and of the things that Satan tries to pull us into. We need to stand against it. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You don't hold, say, well, I remember this offense that you did this many years ago. Love does not keep a record because you and I are human. If there's anybody here that says, I've never made a mistake, I've never sinned, I've never hurt anyone, I'm sorry, that's your first mistake because you'd have to be a liar. All of us have sinned. We've all gone astray in our own way. And he said, but we keep no record of wrongs, and love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It's happy about the truth. It does not want to see hurt come on anyone. And it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then it goes on at the end of the chapter. It says, love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Sometimes these things don't exist. They don't happen. But love never fails. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You can have a lot of things in your life, but love is the one thing that you must have in order to exhibit the love of God, to say, I know God. If you do not love, you cannot know God. The love of God will transform us in a way that nothing else can. His love will cast out evil. It'll cast out darkness, fear, and judgment. We have a lot of things going on in our world today, a lot of fear, a lot of condemnation, and a lot of things that, but love, the love of God, will transform us. The love of God is the breath and the blood for our spirit and soul. Without the love of God, we are like selfish animals who devour others for our own needs. We see so many people, as you see in politics today and in the world of finance, where everybody, different ones, step on somebody else to gain a position. It has nothing to do with love. This, the love of God, will stamp that out. Without the love of God, we are like animals to devour others to promote ourselves. We may imitate love in order to gain the trust of people. But if our motivation is not the sacrificial love of God, we will always try to use others for our own gain. But if we love like Jesus loved, he gave of himself, he gave all, his all. The love of God is sacrificial and serving. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The love of God is his passion to sustain and uphold and exalt his holiness. He always is a holy God, and he exalts his holiness and his Son for your everlasting enjoyment. Your peace and your happiness. Sometimes we define happiness, I would say I define it as, it's based on what happens. But joy is based not on what happens, but what we have within our hearts. God gives us that joy. Your view of sin will change when you have a passion for the holiness of God. When, like Isaiah, when we are in his presence, our view of sin is different. We no longer will think in terms of sin as the damaging of man, although it does destroy man, but as the dishonoring of God. I remember as a teenager when I was tempted, it was always on my heart, and I thank God that I was raised in a home where at a very young age I committed my life to Jesus. But it was not just that I was going to hurt myself. I could not commit that sin or do the thing that would dishonor God. I had given my life to him. I had a commitment to him. And so we dishonor the Lord whenever with our lives if we embrace sin. And so I pray today, oh God, cause us to kneel at the cross and see how infinitely valuable is the holiness and the righteousness and the honor of God. When we sing that song, kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. That's where we see the holiness of God. Sin is so serious, it is so horrible, that God gave His Son to pay the penalty for our transgressions. And then if we sit and we say, what I did was not really that bad, how do you think God feels? It was bad enough that it cost Him the life of His Son. And Jesus gave His life, and the Father looked away and said, I cannot look on that sin, because Jesus became sin for you and sin for me, that we might become the righteousness and the holiness of God. Does it make us better than someone else? No, it makes us like God. We want to be like Jesus is. If today you're watching this telecast and you say, I have not received Christ as my Savior, I've never really recognized how holy God was and how important it is for me to honor Him and His holiness, I trust that you will make Him the Lord of your life today. And I would like to just pray with you, if you'll pray this prayer with me. The prayer does not save you. It is faith in the atoning blood of Jesus that brings salvation. But if you have faith that adds just a little grain of mustard seed, God will begin working in your life, and He will cleanse you and make you a new person in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to You today recognizing that without You, we are undone. We are sinners that need Your grace and Your blood. I pray today that You will cleanse us from every sin, from every unrighteousness. Save us by Your saving grace. I pray now that You will write our names. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make me the person You want me to be. Prepare me, O God, for Your coming. I know that it is near at hand. The signs of the time tell me that Your coming is near. I pray, O Lord, that You will prepare me. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank You today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. And I pray that you will have a blessed week as you encounter the presence of God and embrace the love of God. He loves you even before you were born again. He loved you and gave His life for you. May you be blessed this week. I don't know if there is someone here today that you say, I need special prayer. I know we've had several that have requested prayer, and we have prayed, and my heart is very concerned and heavy for those who have needs. I know there's been a lot of testing and trial in our world today, but God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. I believe that there are better things than... Satan wants us to become discouraged. He wants us to say, you know, we just about have to give up. I've lost this, or I've everything has been taken from me. There are families who have lost loved ones, but God is still on the throne. And so we're here to pray for you. I don't know if there's anyone. We've already taken the needs to before the Lord. If you have a need that we have not mentioned, we want to pray about that. Yes, Irene.
I'm